All right. Well, welcome to our discussion of the Nazirite and Israelite Kohen. Question mark. Is the Nazirite, who's mentioned in Parshat Naso, who refrains from wine or any grape products, who lets his hair grow and doesn't cut it, who refrains from all funerals of any sort, except for a Mace Mitzvah, you know, if there's a dead body in the middle of the road, is such a person really sort of some sort of Israelite Kohen? No, he's not a Kohen. He doesn't have to be a Kohen. Could be a Kohen, but he doesn't have to be. Like Samson certainly was not a Kohen. But is he playing some sort of role as a Kohen, really? So let's take a look. So the Nazirite. So the main thing that makes him similar to a Kohen Gadol, to not really a Kohen, but a Kohen Gadol, strange thing, an Israelite person who takes a vow becomes similar to a Kohen Gadol. Very strange. What does that mean? Throughout the term, he is set apart for the Lord. He shall not go in where there is a dead person. Even if his father or his mother, his brother, his sister should die. Right? He should not defile himself at their death. Since the hair set apart for his God is upon his head. Nazir Elokav Alav Ani Hashem. That the hair set apart for his God is upon his head. The hair set apart for his God is upon his head. So he's a Nazirite on his head, so he can't go to those funerals. Wow. Who else can't go to any funeral? The Kohen Gadol. None shall defile himself by any dead person among his kin except for the, right? A regular Kohen can go to his closest kin, but the high priest cannot go to anyone's funeral, including his own relatives. So the Nazirite actually somehow jumps from being an Israelite, and somehow he jumps all the way to being not a Kohen, but a Kohen Gadol. And he can't serve in the Beis Hamikdash, he can't do the service in Yom Kippur. But nonetheless, he is, he does have this law that's similar to the Kohen Gadol, to the high priest. So
he's holy.
That is holy. That is really super holy. So let's take a look at some of the sources about this and try to understand this a little deeper. Now, is that either just happens to be a one particular, you know, coincidence on this point, or is it something deeper? So here we go. Rabbag says, intent with the Nazirite should be separated from all material matters, you know, like wine, according to human ability. And therefore, he shouldn't become defiled for the dead. I feel like even to relatives. Just like it says with a high priest. Okay, so only their death, he doesn't have to worry about lesser impurities, but for their death, he has to refrain from it, just like the high priest. So the Rabbag doesn't go into it, but he just mentions that, yes, it is the same status like a high priest. So interesting to note. The Sforno is from Spain, originally Italy. He says he must not desecrate his sacred activities by honoring the dead, right? It's a mitzvah to honor the dead, but he shouldn't do that. And thereby downgrading his spiritual concerns. In this respect, he's much like the high priest. So here he says, in this respect, he's like the high priest. Our sages report that a father who sends his son to study Torah in an advanced academy in Tiberias heard that his son was engaged in doing charitable deeds. The father heard about it. He sent the following message. Are there no opportunities to perform such charitable deeds in our town that I had to send you to Tiberias? So in other words, if I send my son to the Mir Yeshiva, and I find out in the Mir Yeshiva, it's wonderful. Every day he goes to visit the old ladies in the old age home. So wait a second, for 5 hours. So wait a second, you want to go visit people in the old age home? Stay here in Memphis. What do I send you to Mir Yeshiva for? So same thing over here. The point is, there are other people who can perform charitable deeds, burying the dead. So you're a Nazirite. What are you doing it for? That's not you didn't become a Nazirite to for this purpose. So what did he say? He said that it's much like the high priest. So there's some, again, this for both the Ralbag and the Sforno both make mention of the comparison to the high priest. Rav Shlomo Shrimfal Hirsch in the 19th century said, yes. By comparing this to Vayikra, we come to the conclusion that Nazir is like a Kohen. That okay. Which says you shouldn't come to any of the dead, parallel to the Kohen Gadol. I'll call Nafshav Meit Lo Yavo. For any dead people, you should not come to their funerals. La'aviv, Limo Loitama, even for his father and mother, he should not defile himself. It elevates the Nazirite to the status of a high priest. As long as he's still a Nazirite, he can always get out of it. You know, he can say, okay, I'm only a Nazirite for the 2 years or 30 days or whatever he wants. But as long as he is a Nazirite, he is actually like the status of a high priest. So there it is right there. He's actually saying it, that the Nazirite has the status of a high priest. The Mishnah and Nazir actually is interested in this comparison between the high priest and the Nazirite, and it says as follows. A high priest and a Nazirite, I'll just make it a little bigger. Can you all see it bigger now?
I'm having a hard time.
Can you see it bigger now? No? Hello?
Yeah. It was working where you had it, but now? I'm watching on my phone, so everybody else might need the larger screen.
Okay. A high priest and a Nazirite may not become ritually impure, even to bury their deceased relatives. However, they become impure to bury a corpse with no one to bury them. As I said, the only exception for the high priest or for the Nazirite is they're walking down the street and they see in the middle of the desert or something, and they see a dead body. They have to go and bury the body. They cannot leave the body strewn.
Oh, so then they're not a Nazir anymore.
No, that would be a violation. It's a good question. That would be a violation. You could then start all over again. If a high priest and a Nazirite, so here's an interesting question. The Mishnah raises an interesting question. Who's higher? If a high priest and a Nazirite were walking along the way and they found the mate mitzvah, they found a dead body and had no one to tend to it, and one of them can tend to the burial by himself. In other words, usually it takes several people to do it, so it's not a question. You say, no, I'm 250, right? I'm 6'6", 250, and the dead body is only 90 pounds, died of starvation or something. I could pick it up, take it myself, I could bury it, no problem. I got the shovels, got everything. So each one of them says, they don't need you. The high priest says, I don't need you, Nazirite. It's okay, I'll do it. And the Nazirite says, no, high priest, I don't need you. You're the Kohen Gadol. So which one should do it? So Rebbe Lezer says, let the high priest become impure. Do not let the Nazirite become impure. The Rebbe Lezer, who's a great perfectionist, he actually believes that it's better to leave this job in the hands of the high priest. Do not let the Nazirite do it. And actually, the Nazirite's higher. We'll see why in a minute. And the rabbis say, not let the Nazirite become impure. Not let common, and not even common priest. In other words, even a Nazirite is lower than even a regular priest, right? We know that no Kohen should be dealing with the dead, but for a Meis Mitzvah, even a Kohen Gadol could. So let's say some Kohen from our shul, right? Jack Kohen, he sees the dead body, God forbid. So should he do it? Or should I'm a Nazirite? I'm not, but if I was, should I do it? So he says, no, let the Nazirite do it. Don't let a plain Kohen do it. Why?
Oh.
So the Mishnah actually gets into the logic. Eliezer said to the rabbis, it's preferable to let the priest become impure as he does not bring an offering for his impurity. So like Charles was saying, let's say he goes to defile himself, right? So he says, no, I'm going to do it. So he goes and he defiles himself. He comes in contact, he touches the dead body, picks it up. So now he's impure for seven. He has to get the red heifer ashes. But also, if he's a Nazirite, he has to bring a sacrifice, a guilt offering for violating his vow. But the high priest doesn't have to bring it. It's true he violated his status, but it's not really a violation because he's allowed to go to the Meis Mitzvah for this particular case. But he doesn't have to bring an offering of impurity for his impurity. So therefore, the Nazirite has a bigger problem to let the high priest do it. The rabbi said to him, on the contrary, but the Nazarite becoming pure as his sanctity is not permanent. The Nazarite's not a permanent status. Some Nazarites only Nazarites for 30 days. Or maybe it's a year, 10 years, but it's not for life. So then one of the later commentaries says, wait a second. Some Nazarites, like Shimshon, maybe Samuel, they're Nazarites for life. He says, yeah, but only when they became a Nazarite. In other words, let's say I say, I want to be a Nazarite forever. So it's true, I'm permanently a Nazarite, but I wasn't always a Nazarite. Right? But what if you were Nazarite from birth? Does it really count? If my father said I was a Nazarite, is that a Torah status, a rabbinic status? There's a whole discussion about this. Okay. But anyway, we have Rebbe Eliezer saying that the Nazarite is so serious that he has to bring a sacrifice, even if he has all the justification in the world to touch the dead body, because it's a body that has no one else to tend to it. Even still, he has to bring a sacrifice. And that makes him more severely restricted than the high priest. And the sages, the majority, saying, no, you're wrong. And that's what we would hold, like that the letter regular priest, the Nazarite is lower than even a regular priest. It's true that he has the rules of a high priest, but he's lower than a regular priest. Why? Because it's not a permanent status. He has an official status. It relates to his whole being. He's a Kohen. That's who he is. The Nazarite's not permanently a Kohen, not permanently a Nazarite. Now, so we mentioned the Nazarite, even for his father and mother, should not defile himself. Good. Now, regarding a Kohen, so he should not go outside the sanctuary, for upon him is the distinction of the anointing oil of his God. So you see that? All right, so notice, it says that the Nazarite, his hair is set apart for his God upon his head, Nazar Elokav al Rosho. And it also says that about a Kohen, that for upon him is the distinction of the anointing oil of God. There's something on his head. So they both have this expression that the Nazir, the crown is on their, the expression Nazir is not only used for Nazir, it's also used for the priest, that the Nazir Elokav al Rosho. Okay.
But the priest the priest cannot have unruly hair. He has to get a haircut.
Oh, okay. So we'll get into that in a second. Very good. We'll get to that in a second. Now, what about the drinking? So a Kohen, so we know that the Nazarite cannot drink any form of strong drink. He can't have So what about the Kohen? So a Kohen cannot have any intoxicant. You're right. A Kohen can't have any type of intoxicant. And if he wants to do a service, it's true that the Kohen Gadol could have a drink with you at the Seder, but, and then the Nazarite cannot. But there, when he's going to the service, he cannot enter the tent of meeting or he will die. This is the law for all time. So there is some wine restriction for the Kohen as well if he's doing a service. The Nazarite's not doing a service. So there is some similarity there. Charlie says, what about the hair? So there is something about hair and a high priest. If you go back to Parshat Shemini a few weeks ago, and Moses said to Aaron and his sons and to Itamar, do not bare your heads, do not rend your clothes, lest you die and anger strike the whole community. So don't bare your heads. Don't let your hair go wild. So there is a notion that a Kohen, sort of the opposite, whereas the Kohen, the Nazir, is supposed to let his hair grow wild, the Kohen cannot let his hair grow wild. So there is something about hair and a Kohen. Also, the idea of Nazir, Nazir Lokav, we pour the oil on his head. There is something about the head of the Kohen. You have this Kohen strange
Gadol. We're talking about the Kohen Gadol.
The Kohen Gadol is the one who has the expression about there's a crown on his head. Because he's got that little frontlet. Now, in order to understand this, we also need to look at the context. What's the context? So the Parsha says, send out the input. You're setting up the camp of all the Israelites and the Kohanim and the Levium. Well, you have this camp. You got to send out the people who are impure. Okay, so it's about who's in, who's out. If you steal, you have to pay back. It's about if you did something wrong, we got to rectify it. If there's problems socially in our society, we have to correct them. Okay. So we're trying to make it a cohesive society. Sota, if there's jealousy, from a husband toward a wife, we need to clarify it. Is she really sleeping around, or is it just the husband's overly zealous and jealous nature? So we have to clarify that so there'll be peace in the family. So we're trying to make peaceful existence. And then it says the Nazarite. So the question, and then it says Birch HaKohanim, and then the 12 tribes, they all bring the same gift. They get along very nicely. So everything's going very smoothly in the Parsha. Everyone's living very much together. If there are any problems, we try to solve them. People have to pay back what they stole. We try to clarify whether this woman is a wayward woman or not. So what's the Nazarite? Is the Nazarite this fanatic who steps out of the community and he decides he wants to be a Kohen Gadol? Look who thinks he wants to be a Kohen Gadol, right? Tom Jones thinks he's a Nazarite, right? Who is he to be a Nazarite? Or, no, we have an orderly society, and in a society there is room for some, you call it extremism or some extreme behavior, right? Some people like to go all out. So there is a role, it's called a Nazarite, for those who want to go all out. So this is the question. Is he legitimately rising to the level of a Kohen Gadol? And he's part of society. We have the Levites, we have the Kohen, and we have the wayward woman, we got to take care of her, the robber, we have to take care of him. And then we have people who are super holy. They reach the level of Kohen Gadol, because you don't have to be a Kohen to be a Kohen. Even if you're not a Kohen, you can be a Nazarite, you can also be a Kohen. Or no, we're trying to set up a beautiful society. The problem is we've got fanatics who think that they're Kohen Gadols. We've got to put them in their place and sort of, you know, notch them down a little bit from where they think they're. That's the question here. Where does the Nazarite fit in this parsha? Is it about how there is a place for a Nazarite? Or is it that a Nazarite steps out of the community and out of the role of an Israelite, and he's confusing it with the role of the Kohen? That's the question.
Oh.
Gemara in Tanya, of course, famously raises this question of, is a Nazarite good or bad? The Gemara returns to the primary topic of the tractate, the issue of fast. Shmuel said, whoever sits in observance of a fast is called a sinner. Shouldn't fast so much. It's inappropriate to take unnecessary suffering upon yourself. And they say that Shmuel holds like the following rabbi. As it says, the bright up, Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, he was a blacksmith or something. The great, he said, what is the meaning when the verse states with regards to the Nazarite, and he shall atone to him for that which he sinned by his soul? What does it mean when the Nazarite finishes his Nazarite status? He said he'd be a Nazarite for 10 years. So for 10 years, he didn't drink any wine. Now he's finished. He has to bring a atonement for his soul. Atonement for his soul? He's been a high priest for 10 years. What does he have to atone for?
Well,
comes the Gemara and says, but with what did his soul sin? Rather, the Nazarite sinned by the distress he caused himself when he abstained from wine, in accordance with the terms of his vow. You're not supposed to abstain from this world. God wants you to enjoy the world. God would ask you, oh, did you enjoy a nice glass of Chardonnay? He said, no, I never had any. I was super firm. I didn't have the red Chardonnay. He says, you idiot. What do you think I put Chardonnay there for? I wanted you to try it. Why didn't you eat it? So this is the philosophy of Shmuel and Elazar HaKapar, that Nazarite's not such a good thing. So if we go back to that section before, right, you send out the impure guy. You got to get rid of him. You got to correct these folks who steal things and make sure they pay back. The Sota woman has to get in order. She may need to be punished for all her promiscuity, or needs to punish the husband for accusing his wife falsely. And the Nazarite is a problem. He's got to bring a sin offering for his extremism. Or no, a Nazarite's a great thing, as we'll see in a moment. Next opinion in the Talmud says, conversely, Rabbi Elazar says, one who accepts a fast upon himself is called sacred, as it is stated with regards to Nazarite. He shall be sacred. He shall let the locks of his hair and his head grow long. Here, too, one can apply an a fortiori logical argument. And if this Nazarite, who distressed himself by abstaining from only one matter, wine, is nevertheless called it sacred, then with regard to one who distresses himself abstaining from all food, like a person who fasts, all the more so he should be considered sacred. So Rabbi Elazar says, if you fast, you're sacred, because if you're a Nazarite, you're sacred. And this is even better than Nazarite. You're not eating anything. You're not drinking anything. So he says, a Nazarite is sacred. Now let's look at it from that point of view. We send out the impure. They're no good. If you steal, you pay back. If you're a sota, we have to cure you. But if you're really super great, there's room for that too. This doesn't fit in so well as the other ones. The negative view, I think, flows better. But here's a positive view, that the Nazirite is one of the segments of society. We have the Israelites in 12 different camps on four corners of the camp. We have the Levites in the middle in three camps. And there's a Nazirite. He's sort of like a Kohen Gadol. That would be the view of Reb Elazar and the view of the second opinion, that he's holy. Okay.
He has to eat because
someone get the door?
We have to live. I mean, we're not allowed to fast all the time.
Exactly, exactly. Very good. Very good. Right? Right. It's a mitzvah to live properly. Now, in order to understand this idea that every good old Jew could become a Nazirite like a high priest, we need to read the Rambam, which we read actually last week, the Rambam at the end of Shemitah V'Yovel, at the end of all the laws of agriculture, which are about how the Levite and the Kohen have special status and privileges, and they get all these, you know, tithings. It says not only the tribe of Levi, but each well-informed thinking person whose spirit moves him to devote himself, I suppose it would apply to herself too, to the service of the Lord, to know God, and has walked uprightly after casting off the yoke of the many cunning wile that men contrive, is indeed divinely consecrated. He says, if you cast off the yoke of earth and you live a spiritual life, it's wonderful, you're holy. He seems to agree with the pro-Nazirite idea. And Lord will forever and forever be his portion. God will provide sufficiently for his needs, as he did for the priests and the Levites. As David says, the Lord is my allotted portion and my cup. Thou holdest my lot. So God will provide. The famous, you know, God will provide joke. See joke 22. But anyway, so the Rambam, now the Rambam here is very problematic, as the Rambam says elsewhere, you're not allowed to throw yourself in the community and it depends on charity. So the Rambam seems to be saying that if you're lucky, God will help you and you'll be able to make a living without much effort and you'll be able to learn all the time. And anybody wants to learn all the time under such circumstances would be fine. But the point is, that's a different question, whether the Rambam is pro-work or anti-work. He's clearly pro-work. How this passage fits in is a different question. But our point tonight is not about work. Our point tonight is that the Rambam says that every Jew could reach the level of holiness. And that sounds a lot like the Nazirite who jumps up to this level of holiness. So so that's very important, this notion that you could reach that level. So let's summarize. We have the Nazirite who seems to have certain similarities to the high priest. The only one that's obvious is the notion that they cannot go to any funerals except for, you know, the dead who have no one to take care of them. However, thinking more deeply about it, we realize that there are some wine restrictions on a Kohen too when he's doing his service. And we also remember that there is something about hair regarding the high priest, whether it's the hats that he wears, the fact that he should not let his hair grow long. It's sort of the opposite when it comes to hair. So that's interesting. The Kohen has to be honored, but the Nazirite is more of a wild-looking kind of a person. We notice that some of the commentaries notice this idea that the Nazirite is the same as the high priest, but more so the Rav Shem Shem Falarish actually says it, that he's like a Kohen. We also mentioned that the Mishnah Nazir raises the question, who's higher, the regular Kohen or the Nazirite? And our general position is that the Nazirite is lower. It's not a permanent status. A permanent status is a deeper kind of status. But there is a view that says, no, for him, it's a sin if he defiles himself. He actually is on a higher level in some ways. He's holier than the high priest himself.
So if he buries a Jew that has no one else to bury him, must he start his Nazirite?
Yes, it seems that he brings a sacrifice and starts all over again. If he vowed 10 years, he's got to do another 10 years. Correct.
Oh, no.
Does he cut his hair?
Usually you just do 30 days, so it's okay. It's not so big.
Okay. I was like, wait, that's a long time. Okay.
Does he cut his hair? And
right, you have to do the whole shaving. Yes, that's great. Very good. Very good. So then we said that the context here may indicate that there's something wrong with him. because he's placed next to the Sota. The Sota is not a positive woman.
Whoa. It's
questionable, right? Either she or her husband, somebody's out of line. Either he's too jealous or she's too loose. So, and we talk about the man who steals. We talk about the impure. So it seems we're trying to expunge the camp of these folks who don't fit in. And here's a Nazirite who tries to set himself above the community, and that could be a problem. So if indeed he is greater than the high priest, is that good or bad? Maybe we say, oh, you shouldn't be higher than the priest. On the other hand, you have that Rambam that we just mentioned. We should look at one other source before we conclude. Let's look at the Rambam at the end of the Laws of Nazirite, see what he says there, and then we'll go from there. So let's take a look. We have Halacha. We have the Mishneh Torah. We have Zmanim, Kedusha, Haflot, the Nazirite-ship. Let's go to the end of the Laws of Nazirite. At the end of the Laws, Rambam often gives his philosophy of that particular thing. Let's see what the Rambam says at the end of the Laws of the Nazirite. He talks about the about vows in general, at the end of the Laws of vowing. Let's take a peek over here. Anybody who says, I'm a Nazir if I do this or that, or if I don't do this or that, he says, that's a wicked person. That's the way, that's the Nazirite of a wicked. But if you vow in a way of holiness, Kedusha, then it's beautiful, it's wonderful. As it says, Nazir Kabro show, the crown of God is on his head. Kadoshu Lashem, he's called holy. So he says, you know what he's like? He's like a prophet. The prophet Amos says the following thing. He says, you guys are nuts. I made some of your children prophets. You should be happy. It's a lot of naches. You have a son, my son, the prophet. Wonderful. Some of your boys became Nazirites. Wonderful. He says, isn't that wonderful, right? Right? Then what happened? You know what you guys did? He said, hey, what are you such a fuddy-duddy? What, you're not going to have wine? Come on, join us for a beer. One shot won't hurt you. Right? Actually, beer, it's not the point, but for a wine, right? So what do? We try to defile them. We try to bring them down to our level.
No.
The prophet Amos or Amos is complaining. He says, you told the prophets, don't give any prophecy. Joseph, don't tell us your dreams about the future. We don't want to hear it, right?
So what?
Joseph had a prophecy, and the brothers said, "No, we don't want to hear it." So that's the problem. So both Amos and the Rambam seem to say that a Nazirite is a wonderful status, and sometimes we don't let people be Nazirites. We say, "Oh, you want to go to the yeshiva? That's terrible. How can you go to yeshiva? You're too religious, right?" But if there's a place for it. In our camp that we talked about before, right? The Parsha is about our camp. And ultimately what the Parsha is saying is that there's a camp and it has all kinds of people. And since some people will differentiate, some people will set themselves aside and they'll say, you know what? I want to be more extreme. I want to be more pious. And we have to have room for that. According to this reading of it, you have to have room for that. The second reading says no. That's going too far. You can't have a regular person who sets himself off as a high priest. It's not proper. And you're setting yourself off in the community. Or no. There needs to be room for this. Some people have a more extremist tendency or perhaps a more pietistic tendency. We have to recognize that. And we can't try to make everyone like us, right? Right? People. Why do people always say, oh, come on, Rabbi, have a drink. Why? You say, look, I have a drink. I want you to have a drink. Let him alone. Somebody doesn't want to drink too much. Let him be. But sometimes we say, no, I want to co-opt you into what I do. And it's not necessary. We don't have to do it that way. We can allow some people to be a little different, even if they're taking a status that's very high. According to the Rambam, there's no problem. It's not like the Torah says, the high priest must be the holiest in the land. Oh, the Nazirite, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is a higher status than the high priest. It's okay for someone to be a high priest. So this is the question. Who has the highest status? This is the question. And I'm just going to leave it as an open question. That's what's the role of the Nazirite in this parsha? Is he an Israelite Kohen? Is that good? Or is it not good because he steps out of his role as an Israelite. All right. Well, thank you for joining us tonight. And in a moment, we'll take some questions. Thank you.